Once upon a time, when I was young, newly ordained, and less seasoned, I was invited to lead a Bible study at a neighboring African-American congregation. I was really excited, so I got to work studying the commentaries on the gospel, preparing a scholarly exegesis, and adding my own flourishes of youthful insight. Well, I was about 10 minutes into my lecture when one of the elder women in the group raised her hand. As I paused, she leaned forward to me with a kind look in her eyes and said, "Honey, we really don't need all that. Just give us Jesus." I look at this morning's scripture lesson in that light. Just give us Jesus. That's who and what the main character of the story, Tabitha, woman to woman, was offering through her devotion to good works and charity. As we just listened to in the litany and shared in the litany of kindness, Tabitha was sharing the precious kindness of Jesus with the women of Joppa, both Jew and Greek. Now, perhaps the account reads more like an account of Peter, and Tabitha gets sort of inserted in that. But to tell you the truth, that's because the Gospels were written by men who disregarded women by and large. But I assure you, Tabitha is the main character in the story, and she has a great deal to teach us and be a guide for us to meeting the Lord today. Tabitha deserves more attention than just those few verses she got in Acts. But even so, if you lift up what those few have to say, they say volumes. First of all, because we didn't read in Greek, although I'm sure, Kathleen, you could do that if you put your mind to it. If we read it in Greek, we would have heard the word for disciple that Luke used in writing Acts. And in the Greek, the word disciple he used was meant exclusively for those who were followers of Jesus who had actually been with Jesus in the flesh. Tabitha was the only woman called a disciple in the New Testament in that way. It suggests that she personally knew Jesus. She had followed him and was taught by him and had joyfully spread the news that he was the Messiah. It was a man's world. But even if it was with grudging affirmation, Tabitha became an important key figure in the spread of Christianity. But however she's recognized, Tabitha is an inspiring figure because she was devoted and caring to others. She used her talents as spiritual gifts on their behalf. She was a unique woman of worth who had a business of her own. She was in the garment business. Yet she may well have literally heard Jesus when he said, "I was naked and you clothed me. What you have done for the least of these, you have done for me." And her heart full of compassion for others, especially for women, especially for poor, widowed, and neglected women, reached out. And she cared for the least to provide them with decent clothing. But Tabitha, as caring as she was, had become gravely ill. Word spread that it looked as if she had passed away. One who cared had fallen. When the widows heard this, they began coming to her home for a vigil. Candles were lit, testimonies were given. They cried at the loss. The clothes she made for women who otherwise would have been dressed in rags were showing off. Even the disciple Peter, who had been 9 miles away in the other town, Lydda, was invited to the vigil to honor her as one he had served with at Jesus' side. And why all that? Not because she was wealthy, not only because she was a dressmaker, but because her talents were used as spiritual gifts, because she had the compassion and determination to use them to help other women in need. Such a simple thing, but how profound, to sew new clothes for those who had none so that they would not be objects of scorn. While some Pharisee men at that time prayed, "I thank you, God, that you didn't make me a woman," Tabitha lifted women up, those who had been beaten down. And hers is a profound example of advocacy. I knew a Tabitha-ish woman. Her name was Dorothy. She was a home ec teacher at the high school. Is there home economics anymore? There might be if there were more Dorothys around. In fact, she was legendary at the inner city school where she taught for over 40 years. She not only helped kids learn to cook in her classes, but since she had run a mess hall when she was in the armed forces, she now knew how to cook for an army. So years and years before there were free lunches for kids in need, there was Dorothy. And at lunchtime, her classroom door was open for anyone who was hungry. Those were also the days when formal dresses for proms were needed. But who in the inner city could afford one? So Dorothy pitched in. Her skills as a seamstress helped dozens of women each year. Somehow, I don't know how, but silk and satin material always appeared in her classroom just at the right time somehow. Over the years, if you add up the numbers, they would have filled up Filene's basement for sure. Dorothy's spirit was so big. Her talents were used as spiritual gifts that she offered for the good of all. She held sacred commitments to care, and her students knew it. Dorothy didn't go down in history like Tabitha, but I know that there are thousands of kids in Saginaw who will never forget her. Women helping women. Folks using their talents as spiritual gifts to care with determination to change the lives of those whom society might have marginalized. Sharing the precious kindness of Christ, being disciples whatever one's gender, spreading Christianity. And that is compelling because wherever there is a culture of selfishness, and Christians are there who care, the world changes. And yet, there is still more to the story that brings biblical Tabitha into an even larger perspective. I can imagine someone in that Bible study I taught raising her hand and saying, "But why did Tabitha have two names? I'm confused." Remember? Kathleen read it. This woman was named Tabitha in Hebrew, but called Dorcas in Greek. Now that's puzzling. But not to those who first knew the story, because to them it implied a great deal about what had early become a multicultural appeal for Christianity. It was an inclusive rather than an excluding faith and community and hope. Paul called it being neither Jew nor Greek. People who had ethnic animosities were putting them aside. The dividing walls of hostility were coming down. Greater values of faith and hope and love were being shared. And there was this one Hellenistic Jewish Christian woman disciple, Tabitha, a.k.a. Dorcas, who was instrumental in making it happen. One woman who reached out to Jews and Greeks and pagans and non-abiding God-fearers and brought them together into one community. Then word came to Peter that she was dying, and he rushed those 9 miles to her side. Had she really died? The Bible says that she did, but something miraculous happened. Something because Peter's reputation and ability as a healer was already known. He prayed with her, and she awoke. And Acts says, in conclusion, this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. I guess so. But that's not the end of the story either. More follows. The last verse of today's scripture reads, and I intentionally wanted this verse to be in the scripture, Peter stayed in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. So? Because that's the end of chapter 9, and chapter 10 immediately begins by saying that Peter, fresh from his encounter with Tabitha, Dorcas, went to Simon the tanner's and took a nap and had his own multicultural vision of inclusivity. Now, Peter's account is well known. After all, it was a man's world. His vision was of a sheet of fabric that was being lowered down from heaven by God. And the fabric had been sewn together by our God. And in it were all kinds of food, much of it food that Jews were forbidden to eat, food eaten by people that observant Jews like Peter would never have shared a table with. Yet God spoke, saying, "Go and eat whatever they eat, and eat it with them. Leave no one out. Make your table and your lives as one in Jesus Christ. Let the Christian church truly become open to all." Now, I don't know if it was God, and I don't know if it was Peter recollecting back just a day or so before to Tabitha, but the message was clear. Peter, be like Tabitha and the women of Joppa. Talking about fabric being sewn together by God, have you seen the large-scale art installation on display over at Martin Luther King Park? Yeah, some of you have. It's just a few blocks over here, right off of Fuller and Franklin, okay? This huge, if you haven't seen it, this huge fabric patchwork covers the field house near the pool. The artist Amanda Browder is the inspiration for it. From the roof to the ground, the entire building, the size of our sanctuary or more, has been covered by long strips and huge triangles of yellow, blue, pink, green, black, and patterned cloth all sewn together. Some of the scraps are about maybe a square foot, but others are whole bolts of fabric 30 feet long and more. If you drive by Martin Luther King Park on the way home today, you'll see it still. I drive by it every day on my way to and from church. And to be honest, I kept saying to myself, what in the world is up with this thing? I don't get it. And I said a couple other things too, but I won't go. It was like, I liked our praise the way it was, is what I really was saying. But then I learned something more that has made this much more beautiful. Because the artist Amanda Browder doesn't work alone. She needs the community to make her art. So the fabric that was used to wrap this whole building has been donated by Grand Rapids people. Plus, community members have worked side by side, Browder, to sew all those patchwork pieces together. Many hands from many different people and many ethnic groups, nationalities, and faith stances or political persuasions have all worked together. All the colors of the rainbow covering that public place made possible by all those who sewed them together to be one colorful whole. That's the image. It's a witness to such a profound ideal. Ethnic or racial or political divides can be transformed in light of an inclusive vision of acceptance and affirmation and care. That is from the love inspired by Christ. It is a spirit found in the talents people have that are transformed when they become spiritual gifts. God in Christ needs the people who have those gifts, who will not content to be either Jew or Greek, to spread the word to the world that we can be more. Like disciples such as Tabitha, aka Dorcas, who used her gifts to sow faith, hope, and love, and Peter, who opened the eyes of his heart to see that all are welcome at Christ's table, and folks like you, folks just like us, who will help people with the precious kindness of Christ through the determined use of our talents as spiritual gifts for the love of God and the good of all. Amen.